Hey everybody, Keaton Markey here for a special edition of AfterBuzz TV's Spotlight On with an amazing director who has just released a hilarious movie, so make sure you stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
This, you know, again, it's a great song. This was in the movie, wasn't it?
This was not in the movie, no.
Okay, I was like, it sounds really familiar, maybe because it's just such a good song.
This was in my wedding, but this is not in the movie. This is the greatest song of all time.
The greatest song of all time. Yeah. Hey, everybody, again, I'm Keaton Markey here with the amazing director, Sanjeev Sarpal. Yes, I got it right. So nervous about getting his name right, but you guys, he just released a film called Random Tropical Paradise. It's absolutely hysterical, so I'm so happy to have you in studio to talk about the film as well as your career and things you have coming up, because you're just so much fun. I mean, who else wants to come in with Pour Some Sugar on Me? That was his decision, guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you. So, Sanjeev, before we get started, where can we follow you so people know right away where we can follow you on social media as well as the film?
Sure, yeah. On Twitter, you can find me at @gvosity. And the film on Twitter as well is at @RTPMovie. And then on Instagram and Facebook and all other social media platforms, it is at Random Tropical Paradise.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's
right. And it's out right now.
It's
out right now. Can go, like, we'll watch this interview, get super hyped about the film, and then go watch it on, what, it's on Netflix, it's on iTunes.
It's on all VOD platforms. So iTunes, Amazon, Vudu, Google Play, Microsoft,
so
Xbox. Not Netflix.
Not Netflix, but all the other ones.
Yeah, Microsoft, Xbox, PlayStation, all of the... all of those. Any VOD platform that you can think of, we're on.
Awesome. So, awesome. Yeah. So you wrote, directed, and produced this film. Did you have a cameo and did I miss it, or no cameo from the director?
I may or may not have had a cameo.
Oh, so when you guys see if you can find them, because I didn't see you, but I'm going to have to rewatch it now.
It's a very, very quick... I have a voice cameo.
Oh.
I'm the voice, without giving anything away, I'll just say I am the voice of the captain.
Okay. Okay. I got you. Yeah. I got you.
And then I have a super quick... so in every... it just sort of happened with the first movie I did and then everything I've done subsequently. I didn't even realize until maybe a couple in, but every cameo I have in any of my movies, I'm the bartender. And
awesome.
So now it's just like, all right, if there's a bartender character,
you have to be a bartender.
Yeah, so I'm a bartender in one of the shots.
You're gonna like someday make like this historical like drama, and like you're gonna find like a way to like be in the wench bar, like.
Oh, totally, absolutely. There's gonna be, you know, or like a post-apocalyptic space odyssey, and then I'm just gonna be a bartender. I was like, I'm the bartender. Like, there are no bars.
Firefly had bars.
That's true. That is true.
I'm just saying.
That is true.
I did. Did Mad Max have bars? I don't even know. I don't think so. They were struggling enough for water. They couldn't drink alcohol.
Yeah, no,
let's
they didn't.
Be real.
Yeah. I don't think anybody. Maybe the third, like maybe the old school, like Beyond Thunderdome. I think Thunderdome probably had a bar. Yeah.
All I can think of when I think of Mad Max is that thing that they do in the desert, Burning Man.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I can think of. And I'm like, they obviously have bars there, so you can make it happen.
That was my haircut. When I got my haircut, I was like, give me the Furiosa.
Oh.
And they were just like, oh, we'll do that.
Looks great. Yeah, I love it. So you've been super busy traveling around promoting this film. And, I mean, you wrote this. So, like, what kind of... Tell me how this movie started. Like, where did you get this idea? What kind of urged you to, like, sit down and actually start, you know, putting pen to paper?
So, for this movie in particular, you know, this is the first film for my company as well. Like, mm-hmm. It's the first film that my company produced.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And so it's the first in our slate. And so when I was thinking about what to write or how to... When I was thinking about writing this movie, there's that universal... Everyone has had this experience. And if you haven't, then I'm terrified at the amount of bodies you probably have in a closet.
No!
But you know that sort of universal experience of having a relationship and it wasn't... It was ended for you.
Yes.
like it wasn't your idea, and it wasn't like on your, like it wasn't on your terms or your, you know, it was ended for you.
Yes.
It wasn't on, and so you know, I was thinking, like, what's the movie version of that? Like, what is the most heightened, most over the top, and in the realm of, like, a screwball comedy, like mm-hmm. Random Tropical Paradise is, like, what is that version of that kind of universal feeling?
Mm-hmm.
And so, of that sort of unintended heartbreak. And so, of course, it's like, oh, instead of just having it be a breakup, like, it happens at a wedding.
It's rough, too.
And yeah, and not just at, you know, not just at a wedding, but at the person's wedding and, like, 5 minutes before they're going to get married.
Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah.
the most... And then with that, you know, with that experience of that sort of massive heartbreak, you always have... You know, your friends rally around you where they're like, we're going to get you through this. And you know, you always have that sort of, everyone has their different ways of dealing with it and coping. And then you've definitely got, I mean, I definitely have, I'm sure everyone else as well, has those friends too that are just like, oh, you're single again and this happened to you. And that gives us like total carte blanche to just go nuts. Like, we're going to get you over this and we're going to get you over this by... partying, like, I can say ass.
You can say ass.
Partying our asses off as hard as we can until you're over
and
this.
And such props to the casting, to Brooks Whelan, who, if like, you guys, he was on SNL a couple years ago, but he embodies that persona so perfectly, better than any other, like, I mean, there's the Stiflers, there's, you know, every other, like, you know, fun movie like this kind of has that guy, but I just thought Brooks did such a great job, to the point where you, like, have empathy for him at the same time, and you don't hate him as much as, like, maybe you should, because he's such an idiot. You just love him. You really love him.
Oh, yeah, he's a superstar. I mean, the casting was meticulous, and I have to give... there aren't enough props that I can give to our casting directors, Blind Ailing and Janelle Scuderi. I'll give them a shout out.
Props.
They were able to, you know, they allowed me to put together this, like, my dream cast.
Yeah.
I mean, and so the funny thing with Brooks is that he actually read for a different part. He read for Randy initially.
Really?
Yeah. And Randy, who's also, you know,
awesome.
An insane character. Alfonso's, yeah. Incredible.
So much fun.
And a great character, like a fun character.
Yeah.
And so he initially read for Randy, and after his audition, and I knew Brooks from SNL,
yeah.
I lived him on SNL, and had seen his stand-up and everything as well, and was like, oh, Brooks, that's crazy, that's great. But after his audition, I went to our casting directors, and I was like, he'd be a perfect Bowie. And our cast directors were like, oh, we were thinking the same thing.
That's
like, we were
awesome.
Trying to figure out how to tell you, like, hey, what do you think about him for Bowie? Like, that'd be amazing. And he is just, I mean, yeah, he's a superstar. The entire cast is just, I couldn't ask for a better, I mean, it was a dream cast. The relationship that he and Brian.
Oh my gosh, best bromance ever.
It's so great. And you know, the way that they play off each other is phenomenal, and you know, Brian brings the whole movie together. I mean, he grounds it, and, you know, his performance allows everyone else to be crazy and still be believable, because he's sort of the rock that centers everything.
And it's so hard to be the straight man. So props to him, and props to your direction for being able to kind of, you know, guide him in a way, and for him to be able to act in a way that, you know, we did believe it, and we still fell in love with him, and, like, you know, felt... I just thought he was so good. I haven't seen him in anything for a while, so... And he's like, comes to my restaurant all the time, so I've seen him in person, but, like, then I haven't seen him on screen in a while, so it was so great to see him and see him kicking butt, and...
Oh, he's such a pro. I mean,
he's so good.
And it was phenomenal to see the two of them, because they, you know, a really cool thing about the shooting the movie too is that, like, we all became friends.
That's awesome.
And so we would hang out even after shooting and everything. We'd be hanging out together, you know, going to escape rooms, going to dinner, or even just getting together, and we'd, like, talk about, you know, the scenes that we're shooting the next day.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, we would just go through scenes. And so, you know, you hear a lot with movies where it's like everyone is together for the shoot, and then after it's done, everyone scatters.
Yeah.
And so what's cool with this movie is that, like, everyone still keeps in touch.
That's,
like,
awesome.
Yeah, it's great. And Brooks and Brian, you can see, even, you know, with their their performance on screen and their relationship with each other, like, they became really good friends in real life as well.
That's cool.
And you can see that, you know, you can see that on the screen, which is phenomenal. Well, and oh, sorry.
Oh, no, speaking of Brooks and Brian, I would love to throw up that scene right now, really quick. This is one of my favorite scenes from the film, and this kind of just gives you a little taste of what their relationship was like, as well as how great your writing is and how hilarious it is. So let's play the scene really quick.
Time, man. This is my favorite part.
Oh, yeah. This is where he switches clothes with the bad guy so that the other bad guys shoot their boss instead of him.
Yeah.
It's genius.
It's so good.
You know what makes this movie even better?
Danny Trejo.
Fucking right. Danny Trejo makes everything better.
Yeah, he does. Imagine Crocodile Dundee 2 starring Danny Trejo. The movie would be 10 minutes long. They would just steal his girlfriend, and then they'd call him, and they'd be like, "Hey, we have your girlfriend." And he would just be like, and then they would just send her back with an apology letter and a box of chocolates.
What about Jaws starring Danny Trejo?
Okay, is Danny Trejo Jaws?
No, Danny Trejo swims out in the middle of the ocean to find Jaws, uppercuts Jaws, sends Jaws in orbit, and then Danny Trejo just stares into the camera for an hour and a half.
Ooh, Independence Day starring Danny Trejo. Mm. Danny Trejo rides his motorcycle into space, straight onto the alien spaceship, and just looks at them all and goes, "Don't even fucking think about it." And the aliens are like, "Sorry," and they leave, and then Danny Trejo just goes to Will Smith, like, "Quit fucking around and start rapping."
Castaway, starring Danny Trejo.
Where's Just Trejo? I like a Just Trejo film.
Except for The Volleyball, which is also Danny Trejo.
Indiana Trejo, where that he opens up the Ark of the Covenant, and then the Ark of the Covenant melts. Because it saw Danny Trejo.
What if instead of Fight Club, it's Danny Trejo Club?
Danny Trejo is Mrs. Doubtfire.
Ooh.
Toodaloo. I miss my kids.
What about Sophie's Choice starring Danny Trejo? Ooh. So Danny Trejo has to decide between two other Danny Trejos.
So that's a triple Trejo.
Talk about a triple Trejo.
Ooh. The Lion King, after Mufasa held up Simba, the camera turns around, and it's not Simba, it's goddamn Danny Trejo.
Where did you get that idea, first of all? I've seen that clip so many times, I still am, like, crying.
So, that's an actual conversation I've had with friends of mine.
Like, really?
Oh, yeah. I have like, texts of myself and friends, and we're just throwing, like, one day, you know, you're just, because, you know, the movie at the heart of it, you know, when you think it's a love story, but it's a love story between the two friends.
Like, yeah.
It's, you know, they're two dudes, and it's one guy that's trying to get his friend over, you know, this huge heartbreak.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it is just like, you know, it's following these two lovable idiots, you know, through these, like, misadventures. And so, but yeah, that I've had, you know, it's just one of those, you're hanging out with your friends, or if I'm just sitting there, you know, watching TV, and I'll, you know, and my buddy's from college or buddy's out here or something, and I'm just like, "Hey, what do you think about this movie starring Danny Trejo?" Like, I have tons of that. Like, it's a conversation that we just have that I'm like, this is one, you know, and yeah. While I'm having the conversation, I'm like, one day I got to figure out how to put this in a movie because this is kind of funny.
And you did it.
And I did, yeah.
And it did great.
And I mean, I had.
Yeah, what, any film starring Danny Trejo that got cut?
So I had Batman starring Danny Trejo where he punches his fist in the air and immediately, like, the Joker and the Penguin die. And then it was something where, like, he like, growls and Catwoman's immediately pregnant. And then he drives the Bat-cycle to Warner Brothers and dangles Joel Schumacher, like, out a window until he promises not to put nipples on the bat suit or something like that. It was, like, it got cut because it was very long. But we had a ton. I mean, another great thing about shooting with the cast that I had and everything is that, like,
did they improv any of that?
So we had a ton of fun. Like, we probably shot an entire day of Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo
stuff. And when I was writing the film, you know, normally I like to outline first before I start writing, and normally with an outline you have maybe like 30 index cards to set, you know, so 30 index cards that have sort of an outline of the film. I had 120 before I even wrote a word for the script. So I had stuff mapped out like crazy, and like lines and jokes and things like that. It was all in there. So for writing, it was great because I already knew I had all of the big stuff in there, and it allowed me to just kind of run.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was great with the cast is that from that, because we had, like powerhouse, like, you know, we have people like Kyle Kinane, Beth Littleford, Alfonso, Brian Brooks, Aidan Mary, Jessica Lowe, Spencer Grammer, Brittany Ferlin.
Yeah.
Like, huge powerhouse comedy and, you know, kind of improv guys that, you know, when we got there, and I, you know, before we even started shooting, I met with everybody. And we would talk about the, you know, talk about the movie, talk about the script. So what was a lot of fun is that I actually got to rewrite in real time sometimes.
Ooh.
Where everything was, since we had everything on paper, it allowed us to not have to think about, not have to think about how we were going to do the scene or what the scene wanted to convey or anything like that. And it just allowed us to, once we got everything down, like once we got everything shot, then it was like, all right, let's have some fun. And so it was a blast for me to be able to, because it was so much fun getting everyone in a room, and then we were just like rapid fire, like let's try this.
Yeah.
And I think the it was funny because they didn't say it to me initially, I think, but I think the cast was kind of like surprised and excited when they would be like, when if someone would be like, hey, like, what if I try this?
Yeah.
Or if I try that? And I'm like, that's a great idea. Like, let's do that. And they're like, oh, I can do that? And I'm like, yeah, let's
oh,
you know.
Oh, what a generous director!
And I'd be like, what if you do, you know, because from there, I can be like, what if instead of that, you do this, but you do it this way, or you do, instead of saying all of this, you say it this one, like, you know, instead of saying it, you say this line, and stuff like that. And so, like, it'd be fun to, for some of the, for you know, for the movie to kind of be, so I would just sit there, I'd have my laptop, and everyone, we'd all just be talking. And I'd just be sit there and rewrite while,
that's awesome.
You know, while we,
it's so rare. Like, it really is rare as a writer to not just have to hand over your script and be like, okay, I can't do anything else now to it. But you got to kind of play the whole way through because you directed it and produced the film and obviously had a cast who were willing to go to play and have fun and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it worked out really well in the sense that I got to do it like I got to do it on my terms.
Yeah.
To where, you know, and I also got to do it with, when we were rewriting with the cast and stuff like that. Or not rewriting, but when we were kind of just, like, playing around with stuff to see if we wanted to throw anything in. I got to do it with people, it's not where it's, like, an arbitrary note or it's just, like, notes coming from, like, a business side or anything like that. It was, like, a totally creative, like, we're having a blast. We have everything down. And this is, you know, there's sometimes, you know, we'd be throwing stuff around and seeing, you know, where it goes. And then, you know, when it comes to the editing, it's like, oh, how we had it originally worked best, you know? So it's like, but this other stuff is still funny, but this works best. And then there's other things where it's like, oh, that stuff that we were playing around with during the day, like, that stuff was so funny. Like, I'm so glad we got to do that. Because even from writing to the screen, there's stuff that works on paper that doesn't necessarily work, you know, when you add everything else to the medium.
Yeah.
So it was cool that I had a really great cast that allowed me to, you know, that we could, you know, have a really great rapport to be able to kind of just, it was just fun. It was like a madhouse. It was like, this was like a playroom that we had, like, so, and that's actually funny with that Danny Trejo scene that, you know, I had never worked with any of the actors before.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime you're in a, you know, doing a movie, there is a level of trust that, you know, has to be earned. On my part, in the sense that, like, I have to earn their trust.
Yes.
You know, it definitely goes both ways, but I absolutely need to earn their trust.
Yeah.
And so it's funny that, like, you know, as we were going through the movie, by the Danny Trejo scene, by the time we shot that, I like to think that I had their trust.
Yeah.
Because that was the one time that, like, you know, Brian and Brooks and I were getting together, and we'd just be talking beforehand, and he'd be like, this scene is really funny, but I don't know if it, like, he's like, I don't know if we, like, he's like, you're probably going to cut this anyway, because, like,
no.
Yeah, he's like, you're probably going to cut this anyway. He's like, it's really funny, but I don't know, like, in terms of the rest of the movie, and, like, he's like, I don't get, he's like, I get it as a scene, and it's hilarious, but, like, I don't get it as a part of the movie.
Yeah.
And so, it was one of those things where it was just like, he was like, we'll do it. He's like, you know,
yeah.
Because that trust had been earned by then. He was like, oh no, we'll do it. and we'll have fun with it and everything. He's like, but you're probably going to cut it anyway. And it was a great call after, you know, we had finished the movie and yeah. everything and he'd seen it. And he was just like, man, you're right. That is the funniest of the movie. And I was like, ha ha. But like it's a great, the one that Brooke says, the Indiana Trejo?
Yeah.
So originally how I had pitched it to him was it was Indiana Trejo. He steals that idol.
Yeah.
But instead of a boulder chasing after him, it's a giant Danny Trejo. And so he was going to go. He was like, all right, cool. We're going to go there. And then he came up with that, opens the Ark of the Covenant, but instead of... but then the Ark of the Covenant mounts yeah. because it's Danny yeah. Trejo. He literally came up with that. As we were shooting, like,
that's awesome, right there.
Right there, and you can see his face, you can see him smile a little bit.
Because he thinks he's so clever.
Because he realized, he was like, oh man, that's funny. And, like, I was in another, we had the Video Village in another room.
Yeah.
Which was good, because he said that, and I was just like, ah! We're printing that, like, tell me we got it. And so, one was great. So it was a ton of, I mean, it was very humbling and really, it was like a really big honor to have these like comedy guys and these actors that like I've looked up to be like, hey, we sign on because we really like this script. Like, we think the script is
that's
really
awesome.
Funny.
That and has to feel real good.
Yeah, yeah. And then to even be able to be like, you know, because you could even have someone that like they come on and they just do what's written.
Yeah.
And they're just like, whatever, I don't care. But like the fact that they were so invested in the film and everything.
Yeah.
It was a blast to be able to be like, hey, how can we, you know, to come up and be like, how can we tailor this to you? How can we get this, you know, to yeah. where it's like.
Do you have a best memory of like what is like you're like, you look back on the film and you're like, like one day that you're like, you'll never forget because it was just either such a fun day, it meant so much to you.
Oh, man. That's such a good question. I mean, that Danny Trejo scene was a ton of fun
yeah.
to shoot. You know, the right when we start shooting, like that first day when you kind of look around and it's like, okay, this is the set that I had written however many, you know, like I'd written this set in my head.
Yeah.
And now I can see what that looks like. And then you see the two people who are like, or you see any of the people that are playing the characters. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I wrote that, like,
yeah.
these guys are saying what I wrote. And then you're kind of looking, and you're looking, and you see the scene, and it's like, I've been living with this scene for, you know, however long I've been writing this movie.
How long was the process of this particular film?
I started outlining and kind of, you know, that process in terms of figuring out, outlining to get to the writing process, that was probably a few months. And that was, you know, that was like 2014.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'd say about like three to six months of just the outlining of getting everything down.
Mm-hmm.
Then the writing process was, you know, another 3 months. And then we shot them. Yeah. Then shooting the movie. So the whole writing process was probably a year.
Yeah.
And then shooting and post-production and everything was probably another 8 months, 8-9 months, something like that. And then you know, when we finished the film, our distributors were like, oh, this is great, you know,
yeah,
our distributors
yeah.
coming to pick it up, and they were like, this is great for a summer movie. We want this to be a summer movie. And
yeah.
I'm like, great. It's the fall. So we're just gonna wait for a few months. And they were like, yeah, and I'm like, all right, cool. Like, you know, I mean, that's what
yeah,
happens.
Yeah,
in movies,
hey,
so
it's, yeah, it's whatever. That's been almost like a 2.5-3 year process for you.
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah, probably wow. a 2-3 year process.
Congrats, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
That's
thanks
awesome. Is yeah. this your first feature length film? Or because I know you've done a lot of shorts, but is this the first feature?
Not the first feature.
Not
I did
the first
I did another feature a few years ago called Screw Cupid that was
okay,
a
yeah.
tiny feature. It was done, the entire budget was less than like Chris Evans's codpiece budget alone in the first Avengers. But we like did the festival route, we won some festivals,
yeah.
and then Sundance Channel and IFC picked it up.
Awesome.
Yeah, and that kind of got me into the room.
Now, have you always wanted to be a director? Like, is this like when you did you go to like film school and stuff, or did you kind of just kind of fall into this?
Sort of both. I'd always wanted to write. Wanted to write and direct ever since the first time I saw Back to the Future when I was, 5 years old.
You guys, just a little insert. He drove away on his wedding day in a DeLorean. Okay.
That is true.
Coolest wife ever, but go, continue. Continue now. That's just a side note.
And with a guy dressed as Doc Brown. And
I didn't even know that!
And I was wearing the self-lacing sneakers. But anyway,
mic drop.
Yes.
Sanjeev out.
So I had always known I'd wanted to write and direct, and I did my, in college, I got my degree in magazine and feature writing in journalism.
Really?
I went to the University of Florida, which had and still does. It's like one of the top three journalism schools.
Yeah.
It's between like them, Northwestern, and Mizzou. And so the magazine and feature writing was a lot of like Tom Wolfe kind of Hunter S. Thompson stuff, where it was still, because I knew I'd always wanted to write and direct for film,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know necessarily, like, I was like, well, I can't just like, graduate college and be like, all right, I'm going to write for film. And so I was like, all right, let me do something that is in that realm,
mm-hmm.
but I can still like, while I'm figuring out how to get to that, I could still do, like, I could have a career or still have a job.
Yeah.
After that. So, like, I got my degree in journalism. I did an interdisciplinary in film. And then because I'm Indian, I got my minors in biology and chemistry. And so I think I'm the only person still that has that combination of degrees.
Ever.
Yeah. For about a year, I was working for the Associated Press, and then I was working for a newspaper and did some freelance magazine writing. And then it got to the point that I was just like, all right, like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And I packed up everything I could fit into my car. I told my roommates to sell everything else, and I drove cross-country to L.A. I had cold-called. I'd gotten the number of this producer who was producing a pilot called a pilot on Venice Beach. And so I gotten his number, and I just cold called him, and off of that conversation he was like, oh, we're crewing up, it'd be great for you to come in to interview to see, for a job. He's like, we're having we're doing these interviews like in Venice, where do you live? And I was in Florida, and this was like on a Monday, and the only place I could think of was, there was a friend of mine I think that was living in Burbank. So I was just like, oh, I'm in Burbank. And he's like, oh, great. Can you be in Venice by Friday? And I was like, sure. And so hung up the phone on Monday, packed all my stuff, told my roommates to sell everything, and was in Venice by Friday.
Oh, my gosh. Did you get the job?
I got the job.
Hey.
Yeah. And then, and then from there, I from friends of mine that I made on the crew, I found a place, started interning like crazy, and then I knew two people when I moved out here, and then from there I ended up getting my first job at WME.
That's awesome.
Which was like it's still the it's like the heart of Hollywood, like everything goes through there, and it was definitely it was amazing because it's absolutely a trial by fire, because like basically they're like, all right, here's everything coming at you at once.
Yeah.
And so it was great, because from there I went and I did, I went into development and was on the sort of development side of production.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was fantastic to be able to kind of get the lay of the land and also see how that side works,
mm-hmm.
for a few years before. And all the while I was writing,
because
I knew I wanted to do that. And then when it got to the point where I was, helping sell friends of mine scripts, and put together friends of mine's projects, I was like, I want to do that for my own stuff now.
Yeah.
And that's when I got into getting to do ScrewCupid.
It's amazing.
So thanks.
Hey, it's an amazing hustling, man. Because did you ever tell the guy who interviewed you for the Venice project, like, the whole story behind that you had, like, literally drove cross country for that job interview?
I think I might have. I think after that pilot finished, after we finished shooting, like, after there wasn't a time where he could be like, well, you're fired, I was like, oh, by the way, I was in Florida when we had that first call.
So moving forward as a writer and director, kind of what genre do you see yourself kind of staying in, or do you want to do everything? Kind of what's your favorite thing, or what would you like to be known for?
I grew up, obsessed with, like, the John Hughes movies,
mm-hmm.
like, those sort of comedies, and all of the, I grew up on Monty Python. Spaceballs is still to this day one of my favorite movies of
yes.
all time. Funnily enough, Can't Hardly Wait is probably 2 or 3.
Really?
I love that movie. That movie is amazing.
I've never seen the entirety of that movie. Oh. I've like seen it because it's on, I feel like it's on HBO Showtime like all the time. So like I'll always throw it on, but have I sat down and just like watched it seriously? I've not, but now.
Oh man.
I have to.
That's anytime anyone asks when they're like, "Oh, you're a filmmaker, like what are your favorite movies?" And anytime I'm like, "Oh, Can't Hardly Wait's up there," they're just like, "What?" And I'm like, "Oh, go watch that movie. It's amazing." but you know, those sort of like like, you know, like the, I love the Spaceballs, I love the Monty Python stuff, but those John Hughes movies where it's like the screwball comedies, but they've got heart, like
yeah.
there's always, and then, you know, from there it's like any of the Cameron Crowe stuff or Nora Ephron, mm-hmm. Richard Curtis stuff. So I'd love to be, you know, I love that kind of comedy, romantic comedy, where it's still like bawdy and ribald and funny, but like you've got that heart,
yeah,
and it you know kind of tugs
yeah.
At your heartstrings. So I love those. At the same time though, you know, I also love, you know, like a good sci-fi.
How can you? I mean, hey, the DeLorean was at your wedding.
Yeah,
you
know, like
sci-fi.
Like a huge, you know, like in a huge event movie. I'd love to do like a huge, like, you know, a big summer blockbuster, Back to the Future type.
But you got to put out in the universe.
You
for
get
it to
something,
happen.
Yeah, you know, like or like a cool like. And it's been interesting after this movie's come out. Like I've got there's opportunities to kind of to do some projects that are outside of the comedy genre that
yeah.
like are my is like my wheelhouse, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm game because it's really, if it's a cool project like outside of genre, because
yeah.
you can, you know, I love, you know, I just love old movies. There's dramas that I love. There, you know, it'd just be really cool to, you know, I'm down to do it. You know, like dream projects. You know, there's definitely like it ranges from like, you know, I'd love to do a Thundercats movie.
Oh my gosh, why has there not been a Thundercats movie? Yeah. I completely agree with you. That needs to be your summer blockbuster.
That's
because this is a missed opportunity that I feel like there's probably scripts floating around or something. Like, there's probably, it's been in the works. Not in the works, but I feel like people have been trying to get
there's
it to happen.
There's got to be. I mean, it's like the biggest cartoon of the 80s. And I was a huge, like, Transformers guy, but, like, a huge
I like
Thundercats
better
guy.
Than Transformers. I will say Thundercats, whoa, with Chitara, the Panther guy, Lion-O.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're my, ugh.
It was, even as a kid, if someone were to ask me, like, you have to choose between Transformers or Thundercats. Even as a kid, I would be like, "That's a choice I can't make. Like, I can't. You can't ask me that." But like, there's got to be something there. But like, I would love to do it. You would think someone did. Someone actually, I think it's on YouTube. I don't know if it's still on there, but they cut a bunch of Brad Pitt movies together, and then they recolored it to make them look like Thundercats.
Oh,
and they
my
made
gosh.
It a Thundercats trailer.
Okay, hold up, I'm pulling this up right now.
And just on that alone, I was like, that would be such a badass movie. Like, I would love to do a Thundercats movie and do it right to where, you know,
somebody give you. You have to do it.
Let me do it.
I want you to do it because I so badly want a Thundercats movie, but I so badly want someone to do the Thundercats movie that's going to honor the Thundercats.
Oh,
yeah.
Really
loved it.
Yeah, exactly.
But also be able to translate it to a modern audience in a way that, like, I think I will say Power Rangers, I think, did a really good job about doing that. I don't think it got as much credit for, like, the new Power Rangers movie.
Oh, yeah, no, totally.
But I think it did a really great job of, like, honoring the TV show that I grew up with, as well as giving us this new film and all these young, awesome actors. And,
no, totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, like, the thing is like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, go.
Oh, yeah, because now we're
hyped. Thundercats, whoa.
And, like, the thing with it is that, like, when you look at, because you absolutely, you hit it right in the head where it's like, you want to get it to where, like, the you know, for people who watched it as a kid, we're still like it, so it, you want a movie that, like, for the people who watched it as kids, it makes us feel like a kid again.
Yes.
And at the same time, you want to be able to bring in that audience who are kids now, who are like, oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, it's a modern thing. And, you know, the way where you see, like, Power Rangers did do a decent
job,
like,
they did a better job
than they're probably given credit for. But when you look at, like, you know, when you look at Man of Steel and stuff like that, where it's like when they're trying to reboot But you know how they missed it? It's like, you have the theme song, that John Williams theme song.
Yes!
Is all you need. All you need to do is build a movie around the feeling that people get when they hear that song.
Yes.
And that is all you need is that through line.
Yeah.
And they have the same thing with, like, you know, when you look at Transformers and you look at the reboot for that one too, it's like all you need is that they made that first animated Transformers movie with the You Got the Touch. Like, the feeling of that when Optimus Prime opens the... Or, sorry, when Hot Rod opens the cog of leadership and you hear Optimus Prime going, "Rise, Rodimus Prime." Like, I'm still getting tears about
He's crying
it.
I'm in studio,
my 30s, and I'm thinking about the two scenes of Optimus Prime going, "Megatron must be stopped no matter the cost," and he does a front flip and opens up a sword, and they have this... And then the whole, like... I'm literally about to start crying.
If you don't make... Okay, this needs to be a goal of yours. If you do not make the frickin' Thundercats movie, I will be upset.
Like, can you imagine, like, a big budget, huge Thundercats
movie?
That has the whole, like, Lion-O finds the sword,
yes,
and goes,
like, it's the origin! It's the
thunder,
origin story!
Thundercats, like, oh!
Wow.
Like, put that in a movie and build it off of that, and, like, $1 billion.
Literally, it's just that intro, that Thundercats intro.
Yeah,
that needs to be, just make that into a film.
Yeah.
Because, and then you can make as many sequels. I mean, studios, this is a gold mine. You can bring back the TV shows. Think of the merchandise here. Are we doing?
You literally hit all of the things that, like, us as adults are now, like, free. Like, we're adults. We pay taxes. We have responsibilities.
Yes.
And we've talked for 15 minutes about how badass that Thundercats trailer is. So it's, you need that. If I could do that, that would be phenomenal.
Okay.
And then,
it's in the universe.
And then on the completely opposite spectrum, like, one of my favorite books of all time is Shantaram, and it's, like, set in India, and it's very personal in the sense of, like, it's a really, really crazy, amazing story. And it's like a crazy, it's like a total drama, and I'd love to do that too.
Well, speaking of kind of where you come from and stuff, how does your family feel about this? Like, I know the film industry in India, it's pretty big with Bollywood and stuff. Like, is this something that, like, you all, I mean, because you said you did also minor and, like, you know, the stereotypical things, but how do they feel about all your success and kind of where you've gone with your career?
First generation Indian, you know, my parents moved here from India. But we, you know, I obviously grew up born and raised here. I mean, it's literally like, you know, my dad's a doctor, uncles and aunts are all doctors. Like, I think my dog is in med school. Like, I got my minors in biology and chemistry because I got all my pre-med prereqs in college. I mean, I didn't switch into journalism until probably end of my sophomore, beginning of junior year. So it was one of those things where, like, I was on that, and I loved it. I mean, I loved biology. I loved all that stuff. And so I was on that track, but the whole time I'm obsessed with movies. I'm writing a ton.
Yeah.
Like, I would be doing, you know, all of the core stuff, but then all of my extracurriculars were theater, writing, English, you know, it was all of that.
Yeah.
And so it got to the point at a time in college where it was like, okay, I have to figure out what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it's not medicine. It's, I want to do film. Like, I want to be that person that I dreamt about being when I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
And so, it was funny because, like, I was freaked out about how I was going to tell my parents. And when I did tell my parents, like, they were so unbelievably supportive.
I mean, they seemed so. At the premiere, like, I was lucky enough to go to the premiere of the film, and your whole family was there. They seemed like they were having a blast.
Oh, just, yeah. Like, I mean, it's like...
so sweet, talking to everybody. So that has to be exciting.
It's the funniest thing, because, like, you know, like, yeah, because my dad's like, oh, we've never had anyone do this in our family.
Yeah.
And so they're like, this is really exciting. Like, this is, you know, and they were like, go for it. They, you know, they supported me 100%, which was amazing. And then even, you know... As I was working and sort of cutting my teeth and paying my dues in, you know, in town, where it's like, you know, I'm working 100 hours a week at certain things, and you know, I remember explaining to my dad, like, what I do. And he's like, so you're, like, a secretary? And I'm like, no, I'm not a secretary.
I'm a production assistant.
And they're, like, and they're doing, and then, they have, like, their friends, kids that are doing the, and they're like, oh, they just, like, did med school and all this stuff. Yeah. But they were never like, oh, this is what your friend, you know, I would just, you know, hear about it in terms of, like, I would hear from the friends, like, oh, they're doing this. But all the while, everyone is like, tell us what it's like being in Hollywood. Tell us what it's like being in L.A. And, you know, the whole goal of all of this, of everything that I do, you know, one of those big things is that I just want to make my parents, like, as proud of me as I am of them. And so it's a, it's like, it's a big, it really means a lot. It meant a lot, and it still means a lot that they're, like, super gung-ho about it. And now that it's getting to where, you know, they're coming to movie premieres of my movie and, like, things like that. Like, it's really cool to see, like, you know, they're hearing them say, like, oh, you know, like, we've seen you, like, put all of this hard work into this, and it's really great to see it paying out, you know, and, like, and then being, like, you know, that's my son. Like, you know, even before I was making, you know, having movies made and writing directing and stuff like that, they would be like, that's my son.
Yeah.
Like, even when I was, you know, PAing or an assistant or they were just like, that's my son. Like, and so, yeah, it meant a
so
ton.
Sweet.
And then, you know, I'll show rough cuts to my parents and my dad will give me notes.
Now your movie was a little raunchy, or Random Tropical Paradise is a little raunchy. What is it like kind of having your parents watch films like that? Like, are they laughing along with you? Do they kind of get your kind of personality and your sense of humor? Or are they, like, still like, oh, well, maybe that part was a little too much, but still a good film? Like,
oh, I got my sense of humor from them.
Really? Okay,
oh, yeah,
so
no,
they're loving it.
It's I mean,
oh,
my
God,
my parents are hilarious.
That's
like,
awesome.
It's my family are, like, hilariously funny, whether they realize it or not, hilariously funny. So, you know, in terms of like the body humor and stuff like that, it's not necessarily that I, like, they would be sitting around telling me all these, like, body jokes and stuff like that, but, like, they totally get that. You're like, it's mortifying. The first time they'll see stuff, I'm like, I can't be here for this. Like, you can watch it, and then I just won't look you in the eyes for, like, a month, and then we'll talk about it. But, it's the funniest thing, like, one, it's hilarious when they'll see it, and my mom and my dad will be like, well, we do have some notes, and they'll give me some stuff. And then a couple things, like, one, I think it's hilarious, but then there's a couple where I'm like, ah, oh, damn, that's a good note. Like, that's not but it's so the funniest thing is both with two of my movies right now, with Random Tropical Paradise and Screw Cupid, like, the dirtiest joke in both of those movies at the premieres, my dad, like, had the loudest laugh. Like, so two of the jokes that I'm just like, oh, God, like, my dad's laughing so hard at, like, the, yeah. So it's the, I still can't look them in the eyes about it because
it's still that fresh, guys. It's very fresh.
Yeah, they still probably look at me like I'm 8, and I'm totally fine with that. I'm like, nope, 8, that's fine. Like, anytime I come home, I'm like, can I have a sandwich? But yeah, no, they, I'm sure my mom is just like, that could have been, but she still appreciates it. She's like,
that's
no, it's
awesome.
It's funny. And my dad's just like, that's, you know,
that's all you can ask for. Well, thank you so much you've shared so much with me, and I can't wait till you make that Thundercats film. You just have to promise me you'll come back in here.
Oh, we're
and
coming,
do an interview.
We're
we'll
coming
just,
back.
Yeah. And if I don't get an invite to the premiere, I'll be upset.
So. Oh no, we're definitely. And that interview for when I come back after the Thundercats movie, it has to start with just you and I. And, I mean, we'll be in Thundercats.
Yeah, full on Thundercats cosplay.
But we've just got to be holding mics and just being like, told you.
Done. Then, done. I'll get in super good shape and audition for Chitara. Yes!
I got to figure out. Okay, so that's the thing, though. Where is there a bartender on Third Earth? That's going to be the hard.
This is the cool thing about Thundercats is, like, the world I feel like was only tapped into within the TV series. There's so much more you could expand with it.
We could start on their planet
yes!
before they left.
Yes!
Oh, there's a bartender!
Oh, my like, if you don't, you better start outlining this film right now. You better be shopping around. Like, don't give away all your ideas on camera right now. We'll discuss. Like, just kind of lock yourself in. Now you got a good film out right now. You can kind of sit for a little while and focus on Thundercats.
It's a massive, I mean, whoever, you know, the powers that be that own Thundercats, like, it's a massive reach of just like, please let me do Thundercats. Yeah. But please let me do Thundercats.
Please let him do Thundercats. What would be, okay, so who would be your dream Lion-O? Just put out in the universe. One more thing, because I love doing this with directors and actors.
Who's a dream Lion-O?
Because then the dream guy to work with.
Let's see. Because, like, what's crazy is that, like, because Lion-O was, like, you know, the whole, he's, like, the youngest of them all. So it'd have to be, like, and what's crazy is that trailer where they redid a bunch of Brad Pitt stuff.
So
like, Brad Pitt does
Brad
look like a crazy Lion-O. But, like, you look at, like, you could do a Zac Efron Lion-O.
Oh.
You could do
that'd be a funny Lion-O.
You could do a...
could you do The Rock as Lion-O?
Oh, if The Rock wanted to do anything, I would make it...
Rock, you can be Chitara. Like, that's
like Rock is Panthro?
Yes!
Like,
yes!
Done. That's gold. That's...
Done.
Oh, man, yeah.
Done.
Rock is Panthro would be...
Tweetel Ejiofor is Panthro.
Panthro, yeah. You just wanted to show that you knew how to say his name.
I can say his name.
Any of those guys. I'm like who's a Lion-O? Let me think really quick. Because right now I'm thinking Zac Efron. I'm like, oh, that's a good Lion-O.
Chris Pratt's too funny. Well, Zac Efron's really funny, too.
Chris Pratt would be a great Lion-O.
He'd be a great Lion-O.
He'd be a Lion-O, too.
Or but Lion-O's, like super serious.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like, he's, like, the serious dude of the group.
Yeah, you do, like, an Oscar Isaacs.
Oh.
Can you imagine that as Lion-O? Oh. That'd be interesting.
Oh my gosh. And this is the thing. Do you do like makeup? Do you do practical effects or do you do kind of little dot, you know, special effects?
I am a fan of practical over.
Thank you.
So you would just sort of augment.
Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal as Lion-O?
Oh. Is he too old at this point?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think, I mean, because one, you don't know the actual ages of the Thundercats, and with all the makeup and everything that they have in there, like, he could pull off the,
But when he did Prince of Persia, it kind of flopped, so you don't know if, like...
But that's not his fault. I mean, he's
Yeah, no,
he's
I know. He's Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah. He can do anything.
Yeah, he's, you know, the Rock as Panthro is getting me excited.
Yeah, that would just be amazing. Yeah. Oh my god! Just get a script of the Rock, and if he could walk up to any studio and be like, "Yes, I want to be Panthro in this movie directed by this guy," they'll be like, "Okay, Rock, whatever you want, buddy. That's what you got to do."
You know, that is another like dream of the, like, you know, dreaming to do like Thundercats and everything. Like, one of the other dreams too would be like, just having some sort of situation where I get to be in a ring at the WWE and be able to do a people's elbow with the Rock.
Oh my gosh.
Like, we do the... And then run across.
This is the
like,
way to do it. I'm telling you, everything comes back to Thundercats.
It comes back to Thundercats.
We've literally like spent 20 minutes of this interview talking about Thundercats, and I'm okay with it because it's been so much fun. So back to Random Tropical Paradise.
Yes,
so
yes.
Really quick, remind us again where we can all watch it and how we can follow it on social media and everything.
Sure. It's available on demand and on VOD, so you can get it on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Microsoft Xbox, Sony Entertainment, PlayStation Network. Network, Vudu. You can also see everything that we have going on with it at randomtropicalparadise.com, and the Instagram, Facebook handles are at randomtropicalparadise, and on Twitter it's at RTPmovie.
And with your production company, can you give a shout out to your production company? What do you guys have coming up?
Sure. We've got a production company called Shabash Films. Shabash means well done or good job.
Oh, I like
Hindi.
That.
And we have some other movies coming up in the slate. I have another comedy coming up. It's like a if Todd Phillips were to make a John Hughes movie.
Oh, okay.
So it's another sort of, I don't know how much I can say about it yet, but but when we do announce, I'll come back and be like, this is what the movie's about.
Awesome.
But yeah, we're getting ready to get into pre-production on that in the next few months to hopefully start shooting early next year to get it out for coming, what is this year, 2017?
Oh
so,
my
yeah.
gosh, it's 2017.
Yeah, coming out for 2018.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we have two more in the slate, and we're getting ready for the next one.
Same genre or something a little different?
It's a little different. It's okay. The same. It's still a comedy. It's a comedy with heart. So, it's still got the sort of bawdy screwball aspects to it.
Yeah.
But there's a definite romantic comedy kind of thread with it, so it's more.
You love those rom-coms. I love it because I'm a sucker for. Anytime I've just thrown any rom-com, I love them.
Oh, any of the like the Notting Hill, Love Actually,
yes,
When Harry Met Sally,
yes,
any of those, yeah.
all of it,
yeah.
No, I love Harry, When Harry Met Sally, because that's my boyfriend and I's relationship. He is my Harry and I am his Sally. Like, we met in college, all of that stuff. So we get together, break up, all that stuff. Harry Met Sally is so great. But anything else you want to shout out, or anybody at the film for Random Tropical Paradise you want to do a quick little shout out to, or? This is your stage, man. Take it.
I'll shout out to everybody, the cast. All of you guys have been amazing. Brian Greenberg, Brooks Whelan, Spencer Grammer, Brittany Ferlin, Beth Littleford, Kyle Kinane, Caitlin McHugh, Aidan Mary, Jessica Lowe, Joey Pants. We didn't even talk. Joey Pants is in my movie. Alfonso McCauley. I got you, Alfonso. Joey, that was two big huge days of Kyle Kinane's, like, been one of my favorite comedians of all time since, mm-hmm. like, when I first saw him in 2009. And I wrote that part for him.
And you got it.
And I got, yeah. And so when we were casting, I was like, I wrote this part for Kyle Kinane. His voice was in my head when I was writing these lines. And they were like, well, why don't we see if we can get Kyle? And we got Kyle.
That's amazing. Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah, and then with Joey Pants.
Making dreams come true.
Exactly, yeah. And then with Joey Pants, when he signed on, I emailed and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe you're doing my movie. Like, thank you so much. And he was like, I thought the script was so good, I said yes before I even got to my part. And I framed that and put that on the wall in my office.
Congratulations.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Shout out to Jordan Gershowitz and Madison Gersh! Wickham, yeah, Grandex, marketing guy. You guys have been amazing. Allison Floral, my casting directors, Bly and Janelle. You guys have been ridiculous. You guys are insane. Our editor, Scott Turner. My director of photography, Tom Calloway, looks badass. Our gaffer, Jim Spencer. Our production designer, Daniel Berger. Our composer, who did a ridiculous, he like does Hans Zimmer stuff, and he did my movie. And
dang,
we have an original song at the end of the movie that's for the movie called Best Man that he did. The soundtrack is unbelievable, and that's our composer Bryce Jacobs and our music supervisor Andrea von Furster. I have another producer, Jennifer Rusikoff, who was instrumental in being able to allow me to assemble my team as well. My parents, my family, everybody I've ever met. I know I'm probably forgetting people, but go see the movie. It was a blast to make. A ton of people did a ton of hard work.
We follow your stuff?
You can follow my stuff. I'm at Gvosity on Twitter. Shabash Films is at Shabash_films on all of these social media things. That's
awesome.
That's my San Dimas High School football rules.
You guys can follow me all over the interwebs at Keen Markey. Thank you so much.
Thank you so
much.
So much fun.
One of the most fun interviews I've ever done.
Oh, great.
We'll see you guys next time here at AfterBuzz TV.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.